Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. It is Earth Day, so happy Earth Day, but it's also the second anniversary of this show, Toxic Free Talk Radio. I've been doing this for 2 years. I counted it up, and it's 295 shows that I've done. Now, there's the live shows, and then there's also shows that are broadcast sometimes, well, twice, at least twice a week. It's a replay. Usually it's twice a week, not any more than that. But it's 295 unique individual live shows in the last 2 years. And I'm pretty proud of that, and they're pretty wonderful. And if you go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, you can listen to all of them. They're all right there, and there will be more. And I have this show booked up usually about 3 weeks in advance, and I just have a steady stream of people either contacting me to be on the show or people that I'm finding just in my normal everyday work activities. And it's just, it's really one of the highlights of my daily life is to come and be here with you on this show. So I'm glad that it's going so well, and I'm glad people are listening, and I'm glad that people are coming and being guests. It's just a wonderful activity for me. So today, my guest, today is, since it's Earth Day, we're going to be talking about an environmental subject. Actually, all week has been environmental subjects, some replays, and we had a new show yesterday about building soil in your garden and around the world, actually, what you can do to help restore soil around the world. And today we're going to be addressing the subject of pharmaceutical pollution in the environment, and how when we take drugs, whether they're over-the-counter or prescription drugs, what happens to those drugs after they're no longer in our bodies, and how they go into the environment, and what kind of harm that they cause. Now, before I introduce my guest, who is going to tell us what we can do to reduce the amount of pharmaceutical pollution that we put into the environment, I want to just give you a little background about how much this really is a problem. And I'm looking at a document called Pharmaceuticals in Wastewater Streams, Disposal Practices and Policy Options in Santa Barbara, which was done by the Donald Bren School of Environmental Science and Management at the University of California, Santa Barbara. This is a whole study that they did on this subject, actually in 2007, but this is all still going on now. And what they said is, I'm going to kind of read some of it and kind of paraphrase some of it. But if you want to know about this subject, this is a really good document to look at. They said recent advances in analytic technology have led researchers to discover trace amounts of pharmaceuticals in wastewater effluents. That's the water that comes to the other end of the wastewater. Wastewater effluents, rivers, lakes, and groundwater. They are finding pharmaceuticals in rivers, lakes, and groundwater. Pharmaceuticals have also been detected in soil samples and fish tissues. Based upon this wealth of published occurrence data, it seems probable that most, if not all, urban wastewater is contaminated with pharmaceutical compounds, differing only in the type and abundance of the substances present. And then they go on to talk about how this is a problem to the aquatic environment, because pharmaceutical compounds are specifically designed to affect biological organisms. And while they say that while that environmental concentrations are below acutely toxic levels. Now, what that means is something's acutely toxic is something that's going to cause harm right now today. You drink gasoline and it would kill you. So they say while environmental concentrations are below acutely toxic levels, the main concerns are the chronic, that's long-term, or synergistic effects. And a synergistic effect is how things combine together and then what happens when you combine them. So I'll tell you this sentence again. While environmental concentrations are below acutely toxic levels, the main concern is with the chronic and synergistic effects of the cocktail of pharmaceuticals humans have created in the water. Endocrine disruption is the most widespread and documented effect that pharmaceuticals have on aquatic organisms. And they talk about the feminization of male fish in waters with treated with wastewater effluents, and the development of antibiotic resistance, and there's a whole list of things here of how the aquatic environment is affected. But it is also, they also affect us humans, because the water that is coming out of our tap, is coming from the environment, those environmental waters that are being contaminated. And so we get those pharmaceuticals, we get drugs, prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs in our tap water. Now, you can remove those by using a water filter, but there's no water filter on all the aquatic life. There's no water filter that can protect the environment from these drugs. So while we can protect ourselves, we can't protect the environment. That the thing that needs to be done is to not put them there in the first place. So this report says that pharmaceuticals reach the environment via two pathways, excretion from humans and disposal into the wastewater treatment system, which is not equipped. The wastewater treatment systems are not equipped to remove pharmaceuticals. Now, this particular study focuses on the disposal of pharmaceuticals and what to do. But what we're going to be talking about today is how what we can do instead of taking drugs so that these drugs don't go into the environment and they don't go into our water system. And my guest, of course, is Pamela Seafield, who is a registered pharmacist. And I have her on every other Wednesday because she knows so much about this subject. And so today we're going to be talking about some drugs and some natural things that we can do so that when they go into the environment after our bodies have excreted them, they don't cause harm. Hi, Pamela.
Hey, it's great to be here. Congratulations on your show. This is wonderful. What a great anniversary.
Thank you. That was a really long introduction, but I had to explain why we're doing this.
No, I think it was very, very timely and very good. Yeah. I kind of assembled a list of what they're seeing most often in the water, as far as what you're talking about is the contamination. In antibiotics and antidepressants are up at the top, okay?
Okay.
And anticonvulsants and estrogen, beta blockers are for blood pressure and cholesterol-lowering medication. Those are like the top six they see. But, of course, the benzodiazepines like Xanax and Ativan, those are the particularly ones that are problematic, because actually when I was looking at the information about wastewater treatment, apparently conventional waste treatment does not destroy the medications, and these medications are also resistant to photodegradation, meaning that they persist in the streams, like you were saying, and in the rivers. So they don't degrade in the presence of light. Where some things will break down, they don't, because they're artificial compounds and they're not recognized in nature.
That's a really important point. But before we talk about the drugs, it just occurred to me, would you explain to us what happens when you take a drug and it goes through your body? Like, why is it even coming out the other end? Isn't our bodies absorbing them and using them?
Correct. Right. So there's different types of metabolism routes. When we swallow a pill, it goes into the stomach, and there, you know, there's acid, and it gets broken down, and then it gets absorbed into the bloodstream, and it goes to the receptors at the place of location where it's supposed to take place. And after that particular period of time, it can go to the liver. Some drugs are actually eliminated unchanged, means they don't have any kind of metabolism, and they're eliminated unchanged almost solely, and they go out through the urine or the feces. Other drugs go to the liver, and they're changed into what's called metabolites. And what the metabolites are is, especially when something is fat-soluble, like it has to work in the brain, like an anticonvulsant, an anti-anxiety medicine, an antidepressant, they have to be eliminated with metabolism.
We have to interrupt you because we have to go to break. And then when we come back, we'll hear more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafield. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And we'll talk with her more when we come back about pharmaceuticals and how they affect the environment. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. And my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who dispenses medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And Pamela, we failed to... the music is still playing. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Pamela? Absolutely.
Okay, good. So it's not that I'm not being heard.
No, it's good.
Okay, good. So I just want to take a minute before we continue to talk about pharmaceuticals. I just want to take a minute and really introduce Pamela, because I didn't do that at the beginning of the show. And as I said, I have her on every other Wednesday because she knows so much about drugs and natural remedies and how things work in the body. I've never heard anybody explain things the way she explains them to her clients and to us on the show about how things work in the body. It's just so fascinating to me. So she has a botanical pharmacy here in Clearwater, Florida, called Botanical Resource. And she has a little med spa as well there, so you can get massages and facials and all those kinds of things. And her website is botanicalresource.com. And she is very happy to talk to anyone at no charge about how you can stop taking your prescription drugs. So Pamela, you want to tell us about that and give your phone number?
Yes, so I've been doing this for quite a long time, probably 25 years, and the basically what we do here is we have natural products, we have homeopathic supplements that are medical grade, and if you have any questions about the prescriptions you're on, or if you want to transition off those prescriptions onto natural products or homeopathic medicines, or if you are at the verge of needing to get on prescription medications, I would be most honored and grateful to help you and your family address those issues, especially even mental health, which I do quite a bit of that as well. And you can contact me at my pharmacy here in Clearwater at 727-442-4955, 727-442-4955. And I would be very grateful to help you with any medical concern you may have.
Thank you so much. And she does a really good job. And she just, all the doctors around her know her. She's very well known for and respected for the work that she does. And I've just seen people just get off their drugs, which is, you know, this is a show about toxics, but drugs, prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs, they are synthetic substances made from petroleum, the same substance that is used to make toxic chemicals, and they have toxic side effects. And so I do consider that drugs need to be something that we remove from our lives in order to be toxic free. All right, so before the break, we were talking about, I had asked what happens when a drug goes into your body. Why is there something left that gets excreted and then goes to the environment?
Correct. So we have these different pathways, and let me explain. The liver contains enzymes, which are collectively called the cytochrome P450, and why that's important is they have them all cataloged. They know exactly which enzyme metabolizes which medication, and sometimes actually these enzymes, if you have one medication that you're taking that inhibits the enzyme and another one that's a substrate of it or it gets metabolized by it, you can actually change the way things are metabolized, and that's where a lot of drug interactions come in and where a lot of people end up very, very sick. So that's why it's important. If you have any questions, you're taking multiple medicines, I will be glad to go and make sure there's not a drug interaction if you're not responding correctly or if you need to get off of that. So what's happening with these enzymes is that they're very active, and they're upregulated for different people depending on their age and also just their genetics. But when a drug leaves in the metabolism, when you take a fat-soluble drug, which is something that goes into the central nervous system, into the brain, are all these psychiatric drugs, then this is the propensity of the drugs that we're seeing, the antibiotics, of course, but the antidepressants, a lot of antidepressants in the water, and the anti-anxiety drugs like Xanax and Ativan. So these things go into the metabolism, they go to the liver. A lot of the benzos, or this is the Ativan and the Xanax, they can eliminate pretty much unchanged. So you're getting a lot of drug itself, not metabolites, but drug, into the feces and into the urine that is going into the wastewater system. And that's the reason why they can't seem to get these things out, because they really don't have effective means to remove these medications out of the water supply. So, of course, once these things are discharged, they go into the streams, they're affecting aquatic life, but also they're affecting people, because now that they're testing it and it's rampant in the water everywhere. So what does this mean for people?
Well, what does this mean for
possible
people?
Risk of cancer. That's what I think.
Well, what about, I know that they, that I said earlier in the show that the amounts that they're testing are below the acute toxic levels, but they are in the degree of that they can have a chronic effect. So what if we're drinking in our tap water every day, in addition to the chloramines and the fluoride and all that stuff, this, as they said, a cocktail of unknown pharmaceuticals? How is that affecting our body?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. And let me explain. I like to use the analogy of homeopathic medicine, right? I use a lot of homeopathy, okay?
Uh-huh.
And what is homeopathy? Small, small amounts of an agent that you're using to treat somebody, right? That's what it is,
right.
Okay?
Right.
It's diluted down hundreds of times. Well, what's the difference between that and the stuff that you get in the water? None. It's the same thing. You're getting drug. And you're getting drug because we know that these work on small, small amounts.
That's right. And so, but what people are getting are antibiotics and antidepressants and,
exactly,
and all of these things. They're going into our bodies, whether we want them or not. So I just think that that's like such an important point, because you have to get a doctor's prescription to get these, or you can just drink them out of your tap water.
Correct. And really, there's no consent. Right?
There's no consent, and there's no control over dose, is the thing.
Correct.
No control over dose.
These substances, when you have substances that work like estrogens in the body or work like drugs in the body, they have a term, they call these terminologies called xenobiotics. And it's something that you don't expect to be taking into your bloodstream, into your body, but you are taking them in, and it's changing the way your hormones act, and also, too, it's changing the way the dynamics of the genes fire off. And like, I want people to think about it maybe there's somebody that's skeptical and says, oh, it's just in the water, it's no big deal. But the fact that I want you to think about it is a homeopathic medication, a medication you didn't want to take that you now have to take because you are in the regular water supply. This is where the problems are. And, you know, there can be organ damage from prolonged exposure. Some people do not tolerate medicine. And if they're getting these in a small amount and they're getting it at a chronic level, acute means you have to go to the hospital. You're very sick. You need medicine. A chronic is different.
Yeah. It's a long time building up, but it doesn't have to take that long before it builds up. When we need to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some specific drugs that we're putting into the environment that are harming the environment and what we can do instead so that we're not taking and excreting those drugs out into the environment and into other people's tap water. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Pamela Ziefeld, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Ziefeld. She's a registered pharmacist who, instead of drugs, likes to give natural medicinals. And so we're going to talk about what now are some natural things that you can take instead of prescription and over-the-counter drugs. And we're going to focus especially on these top drugs that are the ones being found in the environment. So take it away, Pamela.
Okay. Well, so, and first of all, too, I want to mention, if you want to pull the chemicals out and pull these drugs out, I'm a big fan of using Body Anew, which is a detox product that pulls out nickel, cadmium, lead, mercury, pesticides, and it removes chemicals out of the fat. And you have to realize all these things here are fat soluble. That's why they're able to come back into the body and cause these issues, because if they're water soluble, they wouldn't keep coming back in. So that's important for people to know. But
wait, before you go on, I just want to make a point about this, because fat soluble toxics, whether they're drugs or anything else, they accumulate in the fat, correct?
Correct.
So then when you do something like lose weight or exercise or do something that starts melting your fat, then those stored toxics and drugs then melt and go back into your system.
That's exactly right. And that's when toxicity can take place. You can even get that with fat-soluble vitamins, vitamins A, D, E, and K, if you're taking huge, huge amounts. And they've been stored in the fat, and then say all of a sudden you go on a crash diet and you lose a lot of weight, you can end up in liver failure. So that's why it's important to really know the balance of the vitamins you're taking, if you're taking any medications. And I'm a big fan of using Body Anew, because when you use homeopathic detoxification, you're really taking it, it goes to the fat and starts dumping the fat, but it does it in a controlled manner that upregulates these these functions in the liver. I was talking about these enzymes, the P450, and also something called glucuronidation and conjugation, which changes the composition of the drug to remove it out of the body. These are really hallmarks of just taking these things out of your body, regardless of whether you control what you're consuming or not. And that's really important for people to know.
Yeah, and so when these things, it's like we're walking around, the CDC calls it, Center for Disease Control calls it body burden. And so right. It's just like we're carrying around this storehouse of toxic chemicals and drugs that we've taken in the past, or drugs that we drank in our tap water. And we're just carrying them around until our fat releases them into our body at some unexpected time that we don't even know when that will be.
That's so exactly right. And you think about, too, you know what? Older people, why they get so much more cancer, the propensity is higher than younger people's because they've stored all of this over such a long period of
yes.
time.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
People need to realize that. It's not like, you know, this person's elderly, you know, she lived a long life, and, you know, she's 90 years old. Why do you think she's ending up with these diseases? It's because the burden load in her body and her fat is pretty high.
Yes. That's what happens, is that the toxics accumulate until they get to be too much, and then you get sick. Anyway,
exactly
let's
right.
talk about drugs, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood why this is so important, what we're about to tell you.
These are really important points. So I'm just going to talk about antidepressants, okay? We can just pick one drug class at a time. Antidepressants, I mean, these are commonly used. And you think about it, I just want to let people know that the average woman here in the United States is on 5 prescriptions, and the average man is on 4, okay?
Wow.
That's just average. That's a lot of prescriptions, and I can't tell you how many times I've been told I've had things arranged at the hospital that I'm supposed to go talk to different groups, especially like the colleges and things around here, that they want their faculties on so many medications. It's just, you know, their budgets are out of control, and trying to tell them there's other things they can do. It's really a crisis. Okay, so you have a huge amount of percentage of the population on antidepressants. Let me tell you, antidepressants, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and the antidepressants that they have a response rate of less than 30%. So if there was any other category, like say it's a heart condition, and the drug responded less than 30% of the time, would they even bother to use it? I mean, it makes no sense. So, but all these people are on all these antidepressants, and they're accumulating in the water supply, and they're causing all these problems. Antidepressants, if you look at what's going on with serotonin in the brain, omega-3s is specifically eicosapentaenoic acid. If you use a product like Omega-Bright, which was designed by Dr. Andrew Stoll, who's a Harvard psychiatrist, and he did double-blind placebo-controlled trials with Zoloft, and in the trial was actually better than Zoloft using that particular fish oil, which is an EPA to DHA of 7.0 to 1. So there's things you can do other than these medications. You really need to look at that and think to yourself, can I possibly use something other than something that's damaging the environment and also might be more highly effective? And that's important because, let's face it, if you're taking a supplement or you're taking a prescription, you want an outcome, right? You're taking it for a reason.
Right.
So doing this, and also high-dose folic acid, there's 5 serotonin receptors in the brain. It binds to 4 of them. So these things are inexpensive, and they're pretty readily available, and they're very effective, and the data's there. So, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. And also the cardiovascular benefits from taking both of those are superior. So you're getting all other things as well. You know, heart disease is the number one killer of women in the country. So you would be taking some of these things anyways, just maybe different amounts. And I think people need to realize there's options, and it's not all about medications. And that's really the hallmark of this. Antidepressants being rampant in the blood, in the water supply, it's really preventable.
Yes, it really is preventable. This whole thing about drugs in the water supply is totally preventable. So tell us about another one.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about anti-anxiety medications, okay, and specifically the class of benzodiazepines. And this is where the Swedish study was done, and this was very interesting with benzodiazepines. They found low levels of psychotropic drugs, specifically benzodiazepines, and they found that it changed the way the fish behave, affecting the balance of aquatic life. And what they did is they found that these fish in Sweden, they were discharging the water like they do here, and it was had high amounts of benzodiazepines, which the water does here as well. And the fish were swimming in the water, and they weren't scared of the predators. So they would sit there just basically kind of wait because they were chilling out because they were drugged. And this is really, really important. People need to think about this. It's affecting the fish. It's affecting us, too.
Right.
You're being drugged, and you're not even, like I said, consent is not being given. You're consuming these things, and you don't know if the toxicity, but also the effect on your mental health. You know, you have a right to know what's coming into your body. And the fact that fish were so equally affected. Go ahead.
You know, I was thinking while you were talking about fluoride is another one that is, they intentionally put that in the water. And it has a whole list of health effects, but we don't have any consent about that either. And that's something that we can filter out, but that fluoride is going into the environment as well from the wastewater.
Yeah,
that's something right. that nobody ever talks about. They talk about the health effects of fluoride, but
no. We're
fluoridating all those fish too.
We are. And the fact that I think it's really important that people realize that those are kind of a statement I said at the beginning of our talk here, that the photodegradation, a lot of things in nature, if they're not meant to be in the water, they will degradate in the presence of light. These
right.
drugs do not. That's really important to know. That's why the waste treatment products, I mean, you know, they can't use light and they can't use other things to take it out. They have nothing to remove it.
Yeah, it just won't biodegrade, and it doesn't biodegrade in our bodies, and that's
exactly.
why it makes us sick. Yeah, exactly.
Right,
well, we need to go to break. So when we come back, we'll talk about more drugs that are accumulating in our water supply and what we can take instead of these drugs so as to be healthier ourselves and have a healthier environment. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And she's here to tell us today about what we can do instead of taking prescription and over-the-counter drugs in order to solve whatever our health problems are without putting toxic drugs into the environment where they are accumulating and hurting aquatic life. So, Pamela, tell us about more of different types of drugs what we can take instead.
All right, very good. So I'm going to focus on antibiotics for a minute because antibiotic resistance, and I still work in a hospital, so I can tell you about there's a big problem with resistance to antibiotics and having good options for patients. When people are on antibiotics, let's just take an example like a sinus infection, okay? The sinuses are a very sequestered cavity, and that's why people that have sinusitis, you keep going back and getting courses after courses of antibiotics, and it doesn't get any better, okay? So there's certain infections in the body, it just takes a long time to clear up. A lot of times people have viral infections, they don't need antibiotics at all. But what I'll explain, if say you have a minor infection, I'm not talking about someone that's been in a car accident, they might need antibiotics because they have cuts, okay? I'm talking about just routine stuff. You have sinus infections, you may have some bronchitis, you have a little cellulitis, some inflammation on the skin. In place of antibiotics, or if you've been on antibiotics and they just weren't responding, I'm a big fan of using something, a plant called Andrographis. And it's called Andrographis paniculata.
Can you spell that? Spell that.
Yeah, let me get the exact spelling here off the internet because I think people really should know about this if they haven't used this plant before. Here we go. It's Andrographis, and the second word is Panculata, Andrographis paniculata. And I use this almost exclusively. There's a product from cardiovascular research called Restineril, and that's a medical version of this. And I use this a lot when someone comes to me and says, every time I travel, I get really sick, or I've been on two courses of antibiotics for my sinus infection and it's just not getting any better. What this particular plant does, and there's a lot of clinical data behind it, it prevents cytokines or inflammatory components from enhancing the feeding into the inflammation of the infection itself. But what this does is it actually makes your white blood cells boost up and it goes after infections. So instead of taking an antibiotic, which they really are guessing, they don't know which one's going for what infection. They're just like, oh, let's just try this. Okay, most of the time they have no cultures. This particular plant is an excellent, excellent alternative to medication because when you can take it, I usually recommend each capsule is like 500 milligrams, and so like maybe 2-3 times a day if you actually have an infection, you want to treat it. But say you're like worried about getting sick, it's flu season, it's cold season, you get sick easily during certain times of the year, just take one or two a day just as a preventative so you don't get sick. But I use this routinely to treat urinary tract infections, sinus infections, bronchitis, where someone is like, I don't want to be on the antibiotics, or they've been on them and they just weren't working. So this makes your own immune system go after the infection. That's really what you want. You want to boost that up in an effective manner. And this is much different than like taking vitamin C and taking, you know, astragalus and a bunch of other immune boosters. This acts like medicine. And I really would tell people they should really embrace this product. It works great.
Yes, Yes. Well, I think it's just that most people don't know about it, but now they do.
That's and, exactly right. And this is what we're showing. The show's here to inform, right?
That's right. We're here to inform. And I'll also just mention that if you're having trouble finding this product in wherever you are, Pamela sells all these things that she's talking about at her botanical pharmacy, and you can just call them. You can go to the website, but they do orders over the phone. So give the phone number again so that if people are interested in this product or anything else that we're mentioning, she has all the correct brands that she's been working with for over 25 years. She knows they work. She sees them working in her patients. You can just give her a call and order it right over the phone. What's your phone number again?
Yes. The number here at Botanical Research is 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955. And as Deborah had said, the consultation's free. We do keep a chart here for you, so if you want to have a quick call over the phone and you have an infection that you want to address or any other prescription medications you want to address, I can do that over the telephone. We just mail things out. I'd say 90% of my business is mail out. So it just we do a lot of the work right over the telephone.
Yes, yes. And you know, if this sounds like, you know, well, how can this work? It's not a drug. It never hurts to try. I always say, you know, these products don't cost very much compared to drugs. And you can save a lot of money if you find that they work for you. And the only way to find out if it works is to just try it. If it doesn't, you've only lost very little. So, we still have about 6 minutes for the show. So give us another alternative.
Okay, so for medication that people are taking, the beta blockers specifically, people are taking medication for hypertension. Hypertension is a pretty common problem. Okay, I use some homeopathics that have cardiac glycosides in them. They're homeopathics that have hawthorn in them, and if you take that Crichego complex is what I normally use. If you take that probably once or twice a day, normally it'll lower the bottom number of the blood pressure, the diastolic blood pressure, it'll lower it about 20 points. So if people are trying to transition off their prescriptions for their hypertension and are looking for alternatives, also time-release vitamin C, 1,500 milligrams of a 12-hour release vitamin C twice a day will lower the top number of the blood pressure, the systolic blood pressure, about 20 points as well. So a lot of times people are like, I don't want to take these medications anymore. And just taking those two simple things, about 4 or 5 days, you see a nice reduction in the blood pressure, and it's pretty consistent. So there are really effective things, and the data is there that really can bring the blood pressure down without taking the beta blockers and all the different medications that they have for that. So that's another thing that's very, very effective.
Good. Give us another one.
And don't forget about cholesterol medicines. If you got everybody running around taking statin medications, you can use polycosinol, which works really good. Red rice yeast works really, very good. And a lot of people, too, are taking this maybe in turn to get the triglycerides down. Fish oil brings down your triglycerides 30% every month, just taking omega-3s. So that's an excellent alternative. And don't forget, too, we were talking about the anxiety medications, the benzodiazepines. Passion flower is an excellent alternative to benzodiazepines because it works on the same receptor, but there's no tolerance and dependence, and you don't become addicted to it. And it has very, very good outcomes. And the one we use here says prescription quality on the label. It's very strong. So that I use that to transition people off of the benzodiazepines and quite effectively. So that's an excellent alternative too. I can tell you about estrogen.
Okay, tell us about estrogen. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, estrogen, I mean, really, if you look at it, you can take wild yam, which works the same way as estrogen in the body. It does the same exact thing and doesn't have the side effects of taking an estrogen pill. So that's really important to know that. And also, that'll help. Taking wild yam will also help for the vaginal tissues as well. So you don't have to be on estrogen when you're going through menopause and perimenopause and postmenopause. And you have to realize this estrogen, you know, going into the water supply is affecting the males in our culture a lot because they're drinking this and they're becoming feminized and their skin, you know, and the gynecomastia, which is breast tissue. A lot of this can be directly related to estrogens in the water. And this is really a dangerous possibility. So I want to reemphasize that these things store in the fat, and you might want to use a detox product to take them out. I can't say that enough times. That if you want to, and not only that too, when you use something like Body Anew, you end up losing some weight sometimes too because it's taking it out of the fat. And of course, the fat is where you're storing all these things. It's a depot forming your body. So you want to facilitate these going out. And if you do any kind of exercise at all, even if it's just walking, it even moves things out even quicker. And that's what I like. I drink it when I'm exercising in the morning. I think that's the best thing. But you, even if you didn't exercise at all, if you drink it over a course of several hours a day, it's going to just keep pulling all this stuff out of your body. Very, very efficient. And the good part about it is you're not in the bathroom. It's not that kind of a detox.
No, I take it every day. Pamela takes it every day. You've been taking it for like 15 years or something like that every day.
Long time.
Yeah. I take it every day. And it's just like an everyday support for your body to just, in a slow but sure way, start getting those toxics out. And it's totally comfortable. I have no discomfort from it at all. And it's just something our bodies just have so much more toxic stuff in them than our normal body systems can handle. Our bodies just can't handle it. Everybody needs to do something to detox, and Body Note is a good homeopathic way to do that. Also, zeolite is a good thing to take.
Yes,
but these different products actually work on different things. Like zeolite is really, really good for heavy metals, and Body Note takes out some other things. And, you know, if you just kind of do different things, sauna, all these things. put them all together, and we end up being a lot healthier. So we've only got about a minute left. So any final thing you want to say about this?
Yeah, I just wanted to remember to let people know that, you know, these are things you can control. You can't control what's in the water you're drinking. I guess you can filter it and stuff, but you're exposed to these things, you know, periodically through the day and through your life. But it's important to realize that these things can be carcinogenic. They can cause disruption in the endocrine system and disruption in your body. And taking them out with saunas, with exercise, but really with Body Note, trying to get rid of some of these fat-soluble chemicals, not only for today, but I would tell you to look ahead in the future. When you're elderly, you don't want to have these chemicals hanging around and putting you at risk for these horrible diseases.
Right. Thank you so much, Pamela. And again, give your phone number again so that if people want to get any of these products, they can just call you directly.
Yes, please call me here at Botanical Resource. It's 727-442-4955.
Thank you. And that's all the time we have. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.